Our next guest was one of the chosen few who got to explore the world of Google Glass before the rest of us. Matt Honan wore the smart headset for about a year and wrote about his experience for Wired magazine. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, I want to start with at the very beginning. For tragically unhip people like me, what exactly is Google Glass?
Google Glass is a little piece of headgear you can wear. I hesitate to call them glasses because they don't really look quite like glasses. There's a kind of a piece that goes along one of your temples that has some electronics in it that lets it talk to your phone or Wi-Fi and relay internet stuff to a little crystal that sits in front of one of your eyes. And you can see on the display things like your latest email, directions, like if someone tweets at you, you can see that. And basically, the idea is it sort of frees you from having to look at your phone to get all that information.
It reminds me a little bit of the visor that Geordi LaFarge used to wear on Next Generation on Star Trek. Does it feel like a visor like that?
It feels a little bit like that, and it feels a little bit, it feels almost as weird as wearing that would feel, I think,
Do you feel like a cyborg?
A little bit. Honestly, like when you start wearing it a lot, you kind of forget that you're wearing it. So you don't. But other people might remind you that you look like a cyborg.
Well, let's start with more about what it was like for you. The title of your piece references a term that's come up for those that wear these Google Glass pieces. I'm not going to use it on the air, but it's not a complimentary term. Are people who wear Google Glass seen as jerks?
I think there's a little bit of perception that they might be. I mean, there's a pejorative for them that I guess we can't say on the air, I think that, I don't necessarily think they are, but I think that there's this issue that, one, it's very unfamiliar to people. Two, it's pretty strange looking, and three, it's very exclusive. I think there were 1,500 initial units that were sent out, and some order of magnitude more than that now. So it's very much this kind of exclusive club if you've got them, and I think that that has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
How did you manage to get one yourself?
Well, honestly, because I'm at Wired, and they wanted us to have them in order to learn about them and write about them.
So did you have to be someone of consequence to get one?
Well, not necessarily consequence, but they had what was called an Explorer program, and you could apply for it. And so, I know that I'm pretty sure that the penguin keeper at the San Francisco Zoo was one of the people who got them. And so they tried to send them to, people in all kinds of different walks of life. It wasn't necessarily you had to be a very powerful venture capitalist or something like that.
Right.
But they didn't send it just to if you're, they didn't send them just to anybody who wanted it either.
So hopefully the penguins weren't freaked out for a year.
I don't think the penguins noticed.
One of the things that you loved about Google Glass was the application Google Now. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So Google Now is this application they have, and you can have it on your phone. I believe now it's in the Chrome browser also, where basically you give Google access to your email. I mean, they already have it, but you basically give them permission to dig through your email. And it'll do things like say, hey, you have a flight reservation at 3 o'clock, and it's time for you to leave for the airport if you're going to get there on time. It'll just pop up these notifications in a timely fashion. You might go outside, and it's just a little bit before lunchtime. It'll say, hey, there's a restaurant right there. It's Thai food. There's another restaurant over there that's Chinese and kind of, direct you to those places you might want to go. If it's in the morning, it would send you to a breakfast place. It's just sort of these serendipitous sort of suggestions that Google is able to provide because Google knows a lot about you.
So you're not asking it to do that stuff. It's just doing it?
Right. You're not asking for it at all. It's, and like I said, you can have it on your phone too, but I loved the Google Now for your face because when it's on your phone, I don't know about you, but my phone buzzes with something, it seems like every 30 seconds, some sort of notification. So to have those presented to you instead of having to pull the thing out of your pocket and remember to look at it was pretty handy, but no, you don't have to ask it for this stuff. It'll just tell you. It'll just say you've got a meeting in half an hour. You need to leave now.
So with my phone, let's say I get a notification, it buzzes or whatever. Generally, I have to click OK or what have you, and then get it to go back to whatever setting it was at before to clear the notification. What do you do with Google Now in that scenario?
You can dismiss them. You basically the the little piece along the temple that holds the electronics has it's touch sensitive, so you can swipe on it to dismiss things or to scroll through them. But it just kind of goes away. It'll pop up and just go away.
So it's not completely hands-free. You still have to be moving your hand along your temple or something.
You can. You can. It is hands-free when you're taking actions. So you can use the little command phrase that's OK Google, OK Glass, and it'll do things. You can say, like, OK Glass, record a video, and it'll start shooting video. OK Glass, take a picture. It'll take a picture. And they've now released some applications where you can let third-party applications also take advantage of that. So you can, you know, be giving voice commands to the specific apps rather than just sort of the system itself.
So you are, you know, doing what Bluetooth people do and muttering to yourself.
Oh, yeah. You look like a crazy person sometimes.
And speaking of sharing video with people, you actually wanted to have your wife, broadcast her birth using Google Glass.
Broadcast, I think, is the wrong term, but I did want to wear Google Glass while she was giving birth. I thought it would be a great way to, like, you know, it's our second child, and I remember the first time one of the things that that I thought was awkward is me sort of trying to take pictures while this was going on. You know, I didn't want to, like, have to, like, stop paying attention and pull out a camera and take a picture, but I did want to sort of document the moment. And I thought that Google Glass would actually be a very good way to do that. I thought that, you know, I could, without having to, like, stop paying attention or be pulled out of the moment, I could take pictures while she was delivering our second child. The other thing I thought was that because you can do video chats basically with people where they see what you see. So instead of, like, if you think about how you do something on FaceTime or a normal video chat, you're looking at someone and they're looking back at you. On Google Glass, you're looking at someone, they're looking at what you see. So, you know, you can connect with, and in my case, I wanted to connect with my in-laws and my parents, you know, so they could kind of be in the room with us while that was going on, probably not at the moment of birth itself, but, you know, maybe right afterwards.
Yeah, and so how did that go over with your wife?
That did not go over very well at all. Like, she was pretty hostile to that idea, actually. You think about the device being off-putting, and although it might have allowed me to stay in the moment, she was concerned that with me having this strange thing on my face, that it would take her out of that moment. And I think that really speaks to, like, the big problem that Google Glass has to overcome, because I wasn't asking or wanting to do anything different than I would do anyway. I would just be doing the exact same thing I might with my phone, except instead of taking pictures with something in my hand, I'd be taking pictures of something that's on my face. And I think Google Glass's big problem, and a lot of wearables' big problem, are the way they look, because people really notice them and they feel, you know, weirded out by them.
How did using Google Glass change the way you felt about your other gadgetry, things like your cell phone?
It actually made me much more conscious of how often I pull out my cell phone and made me wish that I didn't do that as much. I think that's one of the things we've, as a society, fallen into a habit of doing that is a bad habit and almost a universal bad habit. We're just constantly pulling our phones out of our pockets to look at things and, you know, to get caught up in our apps, caught up in our notifications, caught up in all these things that are pretty unimportant. And one of the things I really like about Google Glass is it is very easy to kind of, you know, go through things very quickly and not have to sort of take that moment and pull something out of your pocket and look at it and put it back in again. It's just subtly different in the way that it can send you a notification, and you can look at it, and you can dismiss it without having to, like, really stop what you're doing to do that.
Well, it's interesting because you're saying, in a way, you're more connected with people. It's less intrusive than a cell phone is because everybody looks down and is prodding away their cell phones.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you said there's this huge barrier just in the way that it looks, and almost that is more intrusive than fooling around with your cell phone.
I think so. I mean, I think one of the big things that Google has to figure out before they make this a consumer device is, how do you make it look good? How do you make it look like a normal pair of glasses? The other thing is you have to, you know, get people to understand that it's not a tool for surveillance or something like that, which I think is a reasonable fear, especially in light of all this NSA stuff that's going on. People are concerned about where this information is going and who's recording what and what are they doing with it. But they certainly have to solve the aesthetic issue.
Do we need to just get over ourselves and get used to stuff like Google Glass, whether or not we like it right now? Is this stuff just coming no matter what?
I think this stuff is coming no matter what, yeah. I think that wearable cameras and wearable displays are coming no matter what, I do. I don't think it's going to be next year, but I think 5 years from now, stuff like that is going to be pretty common. And I think it's actually worth thinking about, like, you know, what valid concerns with that are. Like, you know, what are our privacy concerns with that? What are our, you know, the concerns about how that data is stored, how it's shared, how it can be used, where it can be worn, where it's inappropriate. We need to start thinking about that and coming up with sort of, you know, agreements as a society, because it's coming, and smartphones took us by surprise.
Do you miss your Google Glass? Do you wish you were still wearing it?
Oh, I have it at my desk. I've actually got a brand new one.
You've got a brand new one?
They've just released a slightly upgraded version, and I've got another one at my desk. I had white until the beginning of the year. Now I've got an orange one, which is even more noticeable.
All right, so it sounds like you're a convert, huh?
Oh, yeah, I like it. You know, I mean, I do feel awkward wearing it, and I do feel very self-conscious in it a lot of times. For example, I was going to wear it to lunch today with a friend of mine. I was like, you know what? I know this will bother Jim, so I'm not going to do that. But no, I like it. Yeah, I like it a lot. I think when the weird thing is like people have the same reaction again and again and again. They're like, man, that's really strange looking and weird. Can I try it?
Well, Matt, thanks for giving us a glimpse of the future.
Thank you.
Matt Honan wrote about his year wearing Google Glass for Wired magazine, where he's on staff as a senior writer.